None other than Floyd Reese joins us. Floyd, you can hear Floyd every day right here from 2 to 6 with Jared Stillman on Jared and the GM. Floyd, thanks for joining us this morning, man. When you hear Delanie Walker talk about the Jags and he says they're not really thinking about last year and not making the playoffs because of that game, does that sit right for you or does that bother you a little bit?
Well, I'm not sure it's a big deal. I mean, the big deal is how well they played against Houston. I know they're in Houston working out. I hope they leave a bunch of those defensive linemen there for the week. We don't need to be facing those guys. I mean, they really, really played well. Houston did not play well, but beyond that, I think they've decided to do some of the things that we thought they should do, which is take the ball out of Bortles' hands, rely on the running game, and let that defense eat. Let them go. Let them play. They've got an outstanding defense.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask, because after week one and maybe even the first couple of weeks, you're still not sure if it's, hey, is Jacksonville that good or is Houston's offensive line and quarterback situation that bad? How much of what took place in that game, when you watch it, do you see problems for Houston versus greatness for Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think you're right. There's a combination there. The Houston offensive line did not play well. They still don't have Brown back, their starting tackle. And then they went through a couple injuries. I think they had four concussions or something in that game, which is unbelievable. But right now you're just kind of torn, and we really won't know until we get to play them next week. But I'll tell you what, when you watch them, you watch the game, you watch them on tape now, that is an impressive group.
We're talking to Floyd Reese on Braden and Fitz. You can hear Floyd every day right here from 2 to 6. So, Floyd, follow me here for a second. I'm going to make the argument that we'll know more about the Titans after this week than any other team in the NFL, because in week one, they played a fantastic offense with the Raiders. In week two, they're playing what looks like a fantastic offense for the Jags. They will have seen maybe the toughest on each side of the ball that they're going to see at some point. Won't that give us a better indication of who they really are on both sides of the ball going into week three?
Well, yeah, I think it will. The other side of that coin is we just have to play better. And when you're playing a team the caliber of the Raiders, the edge to win, the margin of victory is so small, you can't do things like running into the kicker and, getting silly penalties and dropping balls and running wrong routes and some of the things that if you're playing a lesser team, you kind of blow it off and say, okay, we'll correct that in practice and, get it better next week. Because when you play those really, really good teams, they don't make those mistakes. They have been there, done that, and they know what it takes to win. And I think that's where we're striving to get. I don't think there's any doubt that this team, the Jacksonville team, is going to be, almost the opposite end of the spectrum. That is, we saw a fantastic quarterback receiver combination this week, and now we're going into a what looks like a really, really potent run offense and an outstanding defense, and the Raiders defense was a little suspect. So between these two games, when it's all said and done, we'll certainly have seen the best that these two teams have to offer.
Corey Davis was the highest targeted player on the team for the Titans passing offense. Adoree Jackson certainly competed at a very high level. Good plays, bad plays. Hard to argue that you didn't see at least two first-round picks as two of the bright spots in week one, right?
I really felt good about both those guys. Corey Davis, of course, I felt good about because you were so concerned about his injury and lack of play. And I think we saw the lack of practice time and the lack of play in his last two the last two balls that were thrown to him, it was the old, I'm going to go inside and the quarterback will throw outside kind of things, which I was really surprised we didn't see more of, to be honest. But, for example, the first catch he made, I mean, we've been looking for that type receiver for a couple years now, and after that you kind of think, yeah, maybe that's him. And the Jackson kid, I'm going to tell you what, I love the way he competed. I mean, he was out there. He's, got unbelievable ability. When he was returning that kickoff and jumped over the kicker, I mean, that was as impressive an athletic move as I think I've ever seen. But he, he played against good group of receivers, gave up a reception or two, but, I mean, really competed. He's got a great knack for getting his hand and arm between the receiver's arms and being able to pull the ball out and do things like that. So, So I would agree. I mean, I think both those guys, you'd look at them now and you say, geez, if they continue to improve, they've really got a chance to be pretty good players.
We're talking to Floyd Reese. Marcus Mariota threw the ball over 40 times on Sunday. Do you think that was just sort of because of the game plan when you're facing a defense with a questionable secondary, or do you think that's some sort of seismic shift by the Titans to get away from the running game a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the truth is we didn't run the ball very well, and I think, you know, they were almost forced into it. You know, we're not one of those teams that set up to go out and throw the ball 40 or 45 times a game and win. The Raiders, on the other hand, that's the way they make their living. So, you know, if we would have run the ball the way we wanted to, I think his attempts would have been down, you know, 30s, 31, 32, somewhere in that area, which is acceptable. I mean, we can win and we can go ahead and play well doing that. But when it starts getting up in the, you know, 40-ish, I mean, that's a little bit shaky for us.
Floyd, the number one thing I think that kept coming up in my mind watching NFL football all across the board in week one was just how sloppy the play was, especially at the quarterback position. But not even that, just every other aspect of the game. Did you see that? And is there a solution? Are the preseason games a part of the problem? What are your thoughts on sort of the level of play in week one?
You know, again, we go through it, you know, every time we do a new CBA where, you know, we lessen what we do in the off season, we lessen the amount of practice time, we lessen the amount of time you're in uniform, lessen the amount of time you're hitting and doing all those things. I mean, the play wasn't as sloppy to me as the tackling. I thought the tackling was just awful across the board. And I think that's a direct reflection of the amount of time you spend tackling. And you can't tackle, you know, in a pair of shorts. And so I think it's going to take teams a little bit of time to get going in that area. Preseason, as we know, you know, the guys that are going to be playing on Sunday aren't playing a lot. And so you combine, you know, no tackling, no in the OTAs, in the offseason and all that, and then throw them into a preseason game that they play a couple of series, and then all of a sudden you're playing for real. And you're not a great tackling team, and I think that's a result of just practice.
That's interesting you say that, Floyd, because, you know, in your day, people, you could just grind them into the ground and get people better at that skill. In the new collective bargaining agreement, you only have 14 padded practices once the NFL season even starts. If your team can't tackle today, how do they really get better at tackling?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really hard. It's something you have to concentrate on. It's something you have to try to work at. The problem is it's always, when you do it, it's always, you know, half speed or what we call thud, you know, simply because you can't take them to the ground. You know, you don't want to hurt your own guys, and if they're unpadded, you always have that possibility. So it's one of those things you try to concentrate on, and maybe that helps, but you do need to do it. You know, you've got to do it in practice, and if you can't, then, you know, you're relying on games. And that's the scary part. I mean, you don't want the game time to be used as, you know, practice time. You want that to be for real.
Well, you can listen to him every single day on these very airwaves, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6, hanging out with Jared Stillman on Jared and the GM. And obviously, you can hang out with him on Sunday. Floyd, I know when you said Adoree Jackson's leap was the greatest athletic move you'd ever seen, you were discounting my jump for donuts on Sundays, because you've seen that too, my friend.
And I'll tell you what, you can sky now.
Thank you. You guys can hang out with us on
Easy
Sunday mornings,
boy.
Too. So, Floyd, thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it.
You bet.